God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. As you may be aware, this is In-Gathering Sunday, which is a fancy term for this is when people bring in their estimate of giving cards. Unless you did it online, of course, we appreciate that too. We tend to bounce between these traditions. And I checked with Stewardship Committee earlier service, and they said they didn't actually plan based on the readings for it to be this day. So we're going to trust that God had his hand in that, and we actually have this gospel reading this morning. And in case you're getting nervous and you're wondering, oh, is the priest going to talk about money? I'm going to just help you out. He is. But I need you to remember this most of all. As you are now wondering about your priest talking about money, Jesus did it first. So I suspect there's a reason for that, and hopefully by the time we find our way through that, we will actually know. And so as I was prepping, I thought this is, Jesus is going to talk about the greatest mystery in the history of the church, giving. It's the one thing that nobody talks about, and most people do, but it doesn't come with any very clear instructions, does it? So we live in this mystery of giving, and I'm hoping we're going to find our way through it a little bit, but it's not so much about how much, as we just heard from Miss Donna. It's about why, really. It's about why we give, and that's what Jesus is making reference to today. And he begins in this passage, which this passage is always a ton of fun to read as an Episcopal priest. As he taught, he's denouncing the scribes. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes." Mine aren't that long because I'm not that tall. And they're walking around in long robes, and they like to be greeted with respect in the marketplace. So I got the long robes anyway. The respect in the marketplace, don't really feel that so much anymore, do we, Father? Fathers. It's a different time. Yeah. And of course, if we went into the marketplace dressed in these long robes, I suspect we would get a very wide berth and would not need to wear our masks. But the fact of the matter is, he's pointing something out, really, that this is a group of people that seem to have lost their way, maybe just a little bit. Not all scribes, by the way, in this time had lost their way. They had a job, and they knew what it was, and I'm sure many of them did it well. But I believe Jesus is pointing out to those who are doing it for the recognition, more so. Maybe their heart isn't really in the right place, and he makes his point about their heart not being in the right place when he says that they like to have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at the banquets. Now, as an Episcopal priest, this one's good, because everyone knows in the Episcopal church, the best seat in the church is in the back. Nobody in here wants my seat, do they? No, because you have to sit up front and everybody watches you. Oh, Oliver wants it. I have no doubt that the day will soon be here when he just wanders up and sits in it. Then he makes this very strong point. He goes, they devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, they say long prayers, and they will receive the greater condemnation. They're supposed to be taking care of the widows, by the way. Jesus talks a lot about taking care of widows and orphans, and in Jewish tradition, there is a tradition of taking care of widows and orphans, and it's just not really getting done very well. In fact, they're just sort of devouring. They're taking everything that they can get and everything that the widow will give. And even in the midst of all this, this reading becomes rather strange, doesn't it? This woman, this widow, comes forward. Jesus has sat down opposite the treasury. He's watching the crowds, right? They're putting money into treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples, said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." And we all think, wow. You know what I think when I read that? Why? I mean, that just sounds insane, doesn't it? This is all you have to live on? And there's all these people with all this money, and they're putting money in. And this woman comes up and puts in all she had to live on. And you have to ask yourself that question, why would she do that? I mean, haven't you ever wondered? I mean, people talk about all kinds of things in this passage, but honestly, first time I read it, I said, I don't get it. I mean, I'm not going to do that. Nobody would ask me to do that. And then I started, as time went by, to discover things about my life and about my own experience with God and my own experiences with money, by the way. And I realize this widow had a different relationship than I did. So many of us come to church and we build our relationship with the church. And many of us give to the church. And we wonder what the church does with it. And I've realized one of the biggest struggles we have is this has nothing to do with her relationship, and that, to me, is part of the point being made. Those who are in leadership, Jesus is pointing out, they're not really doing this the way that it was intended to be done, and yet there she is. See, her relationship isn't with her faith community. Her relationship is with God. She is giving her money to God. So if we stop and think about that, we keep saying, well, you should give money to the church. I'd say, brothers and sisters, you should give your money to God. Because the church is never going to satisfy you, by the way. I mean, think about it. You know the biggest struggle with the church is? It's us. We're the church. I've lived with the same woman over 30 years. And I still mess that up. You would think after 30 years I could get one relationship together. But I will still mess that up. I think I've done okay. I didn't. I locked her out of the truck first thing this morning. She had to come find me. Where are the keys to the truck? You locked me out of the truck. So I didn't even get to the first service. And we're the church. And we're supposed to be in relationship with one another. You know what's guaranteed in your relationship with a bunch of people? Somebody's going to make you mad. Somebody's going to say something that hurt your feelings. Somebody's going to do something. Somebody's going to not do something. The reason we're here isn't necessarily the relationship that comes is important, but the relationship that brings us is our relationship with God. Amen? Our relationship with our finances and the church need to be focused on God, not so much on the church. We try to do everything we can to be open and clear and show you where the finances go so that you can be assured that the things we're doing are godly. But the reality is, if you tend to give to the church and not to God, you're missing something. You're missing something. See, I used to do what I've now decided I'm calling justifiable giving. You can use it if you want. So this is what I used to do. I would take, let's say, your proposed budget for 2022 at Holy Innocence is just under $740,000. Now I say that and people cringe. Now the first year we did things this way, the number was very high. That was my first year here. I was actually told, I said, I'm very concerned, Father, that you are going to have a huge failure in your first year. And I'm like, probably, but which one are you talking about? And the fact of the matter is they were talking about this proposed budget that had just gone out. So here's what you should know if you don't. The proposed budget is built by the people who are leading the ministries and the missions of Holy Innocence. They are given a sheet and they are told, put down what you need to do the full vision God has given you for this ministry. And then we add all that up, and this year comes to just under $740,000. And then we put it out to the church. And then together we discern with God, hopefully, how much of this work are we going to be able to do in 2022? The struggle comes if we're only going to give to the church. So what I would do in my justifiable giving is I would take that number and I'd divide it by whatever number of people I think go to church. And I'd say, that's my share. So I'll pay my share. So if I pay my share and everybody pays their share, then it'll be fine. But the reality is not everybody can do that, can they? And some can do more. But the biggest problem with that concept is it only has to do with my relationship with the church and had nothing to do with my relationship with God. So we have these moments in our life, right? Maybe God might be more gentle with you than he is with me. So for me, I got to a point where I looked at that number, whatever my justifiable giving number was, and I went, what percentage of my income is that actually? And I discovered it was almost 5%. And I said, well, what's God ask us for? Well, he asked us to bring in the full tithe. So I thought to myself, well, tithe, everybody says that's 10%. Some people will explain it differently, and that may just be justifiable explanation as far as I'm concerned. Let's just say it's 10%. And I thought, well, what happens if I take my income and what's 7% of it? And it turns out if I went to 7%, all I had to do was, I don't know, make my own lunch 2 days a week instead of going out and getting lunch. I thought, well, for the one who gave his all for me, his very body and blood, I could probably make my own sandwich twice a week. So I did. And then I got lazy, so now I just don't eat lunch. And we just started moving in that direction. And then we had the hit the wall kind of moment. And God, in all of his glory and humor, has us at seminary. Shockingly, we are broke. We have one asset, which is our home in Sarasota. It was 2008, so any of you had any assets in 2008, you know what happened to them. Yeah. We get there, and we go to church the first week. Somebody has to follow us back to the seminary because the car is barely running. We only had one. We get it into the shop the next morning. It costs over $1,800 to fix it, and we had $2,000 in our savings account. Kind of a moment. Oh, and just for fun, we were already $1,000 behind in tuition, and I haven't even been to my first class. A little panicked. And then to add to it, of course, Susan has a job, I don't. Now we have two churches. We have the church that sent us, and I have a church that I'm working in as a seminarian. We talk to everybody. What do we do about our pledge? Where do we send our money? And you got the same answer. We got the same answer I'm sure all of you have had if you've ever been bold enough to ask the question. God will let you know. That's super helpful, isn't it? I don't know what's going on. I even called my bishop. He's like, you'll figure it out. And I said, honestly, there's nothing much left to figure out. We're already in the hole. There's no way out of it that we can see. And we decided then to go all in and give God what God asked for. And we just split it between our two churches. Brothers and sisters, our world changed. Prior to this, anything financially that we did, I was in panic. If we took out a loan, heaven forbid, I would keep my wife awake for 3 days running all the numbers. I'd run the numbers and get them in my head, and then I'd wake her up and check the numbers. Are we going to be able to afford this? Can we handle this? And at that moment, when we finally said, let's just give God what God asked for and let's just trust him, or as Malachi said, put me to the test, God says through Malachi, and bring in the full tithe. And we said, well, let's just try that. And our world changed. See, because our relationship at that moment with our relationship with money and giving to the church changed to our relationship with us giving God's money back to God. It changed everything. And I know I'm supposed to say these things, but I promise you it's true. Giving to God isn't necessarily about what it's about you and your relationship with God. It's about what you're willing to let go of and how far are you going to go. The widow went all the way. She's like, I'm all in. Boop. Not because she trusted the people who were running the show. Not because her relationship was with them, because she's living in a society where she's been sort of set aside, and the one place where she's supposed to be getting taken care of and cared for is devouring her home. And here she comes. Everything she had to live on. Why? Because her relationship was with God. And she trusted God. When we began that journey of trusting God with everything, our lives changed. I've never had another sleepless night thinking about money. Never. The Lord has provided, just like he promised he would. When we put him to the test, the blessings poured out. And I'm not saying don't do that just because you want blessings. I'm telling you, bring your heart to a place where you give to God. We had another moment, and I have 1,000 stories. I'll only tell you 999. We had a family member who was dying, Susan's grandfather. We were in Wisconsin. We were broke. We had a choice. We could find our way down to see him before he died, or we could come and support her grandmother at his funeral. We decided to come see him before he died. We didn't have the money. Our high school age child came to us and said, I'll pay for it, out of the little bit of savings she had in high school. 3 airline tickets from Milwaukee to Sarasota and back. And we said, no, we'll figure it out. We know we need to be there. We need to go. We put it on the credit card, good Americans. And off we went. That Sunday when we were getting ready to leave, that afternoon we were in church in our Field Ed parish. And I don't remember if I was the preacher that day. They like to do that to their seminarians when they come back. You all should know that. And after the service, I was in the narthex, and I'm greeting people, and I'm getting this, you know. That people are putting their hands out like this to shake my hand, and they're pressing papers into the palm of my hand. And as they do that, I'm just putting it in my pocket. And we get on the airplane, and I reach in my pocket and I pull out all this paper, which of course is cash and checks. We had roughly $10 more in my hand than it cost us to make the trip. See, the Lord provides, amen? When we seek him, when we trust him, when we follow him in all aspects of our lives, I promise you, your life changes. It's a journey, though. It didn't happen overnight in the O'Carroll household. But there are times I look back and I wish it had. If I could reclaim those sleepless nights, if Susan could reclaim her sleepless nights, I'm sure she would. But our relationship with God changed. so dramatically when we trusted him fully. So yes, your priest talks about money, but I want you to hear this. It's not financial concerns that bring me to this conversation with you. It is spiritual, brothers and sisters. This world, look around you. The things that grip you, how many of them revolve around money? How many? It's everything, isn't it? From the very basic cost of gas today to the way politics happen, it has a grip that's ungodly. And I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, when you let that go and give it to God, your life will change. When we, the church, learn to do this, Valrico will change, Brandon will change, Dover will change, Holy Innocence will change. The world around us changes because we will be transformed in our call to transform the world. Amen? This is part of the journey, and I don't know where you are in your journey yet, but I promise you that I suspect, well, let me say this. I suspect nobody's really talked to you about it, have they? But I'm promising you this. When we let go of the thing that has the greatest grip on us in this world and offer it to God, everything changes. That's what I want for you. I'm not the priest up here that wants a raise. I'm well cared for. I don't want to buy fancy things to hang on the walls. Today, it's not even necessarily about the people whose lives will be affected and changed. Today, brothers and sisters, it's about us. It's about us coming to a new place in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want you to have it. I want you to feel it. I want you to experience it. I want you to have the peace that comes from it. And I want you to have the joy in giving to God. Amen.